The Best of Microsoft Build. This is a show, it's a 2 hour long show where we're here live on Lynn TV, and we're going to be breaking down all of the different announcements, all the different technologies and ideas and strategies that we all saw at Microsoft Build at the end of May. My name's Amy Boyd. I'm going to be the host for the first segment, which is all about AI. So there was four different categories that we covered at Microsoft Build. They've got slightly long sentences, so I'm just going to refer to my notes very quickly. But we had delivering new intelligent cloud native applications by harnessing the power of data and AI. That's what we're going to cover first. I'm going to bring on a few guests around that. But we're also going to get to cover things like Microsoft 365, developer velocity, and then specifically cloud native. So building cloud native applications that run anywhere. And we're going to have some very familiar faces that we see here on Lynn TV quite a lot. And they're going to be really breaking down some of those great announcements. Now, so that gives you a context of what the Best of Microsoft Build is. And so in this first session for 30 minutes, we're going to be covering all things AI that got announced at Microsoft Build. Now, there was quite a few things. So I have actually brought a few friends on with me to kind of break down a few of these different segments. So in our agenda today, I'm going to have a quick chat about cognitive services and our applied AI category. But straight after that, we're actually going to be joined by Gary. Hey, Gary. And he's going to be talking all about conversational AI. He's a PM on the conversational AI team. And he's going to really break down all of the great stuff that happened with that part of one of the sessions. And then me and Henk are actually going to kind of interview each other almost as two different personas who found the machine learning session at Build incredibly interesting. So Henk is one of our ML ops enthusiasts. That's probably a great word for it. And so he will break that down for us as well. And so with that, what I would like to do is just very quickly get started with cognitive services. One of the really great things around cognitive services was that the demo that was provided was by iShuggle. iShuggle is a cloud advocate here at Microsoft on our team. And so I was able to get all of the information from her on exactly kind of how to break down the context of applied AI. So we have a really great slide if we could show it. Here we go. This was actually showed in Eric Boyd's keynote. And in it, he mentioned kind of Azure AI is like a huge platform of its own even at this point. So if you look right at the bottom there, we've got things like Azure Machine Learning. We're going to talk a bit about that with Henk very shortly. As we move up the scale here, we start to talk about Azure Cognitive Services. Some of you may be very familiar with Cognitive Services, these pre-packaged intelligent APIs that let you do things with language, text, vision, decision, speech, all the great things. But they have, each one of these categories has so many different things you can do underneath. And so one of the things I was chatting to iShuggle about was actually, tell us about this new applied AI services. Like, what does this mean? And basically, that's this top level here. Again, some of these might not be incredibly new to you, but the category itself is an idea that we have then not just got the Azure Cognitive Services that you can leverage, these intelligent APIs that you can send a piece of data and get an answer or probability or a piece of intelligence back. Actually, now what we're doing is we're seeing these scenarios that everyone is needing out there. So whether it's analyzing video, analyzing metrics that are coming from machines or coming from services, maybe it's things like recognizing forms, maybe, you know, moving from analog, paper-based PDF into searchable information. Maybe it's something like an immersive reader that's actually incredible for accessibility needs. All of these different things are applied AI services. Now, one of the things some people might be thinking is, are the cognitive services going away? Absolutely not. The cognitive services are being built upon, right? We had that cognitive services layer and then these more specialized scenarios that sit on top of them. So that was kind of part of the coverage there that worked out really, really well. And then one of the interesting parts I found of this first session, this session with Eric Boyd, his keynote, was actually he mentions a lot about the statistics that sit around the baseline model. So he mentions a lot of what we do actually goes on to be built. So from research into our actual session and into our services. And so one of the interesting things there is he talks about the improvements in speech models and translation. And then that's when we actually moved over and had a custom neural voice demo. And Aishkul actually built that. So we've got a nice little GIF here that I broke down just so that you can get a sense of what this custom neural voice does. And basically what it is the ability, say you had like a spokesperson or something like that for your company, and it has a brand and it has a voice. People obviously can relate to that. And so you can actually build a custom neural voice that allows that to happen by uploading different data sets and then being able to build these models that can provide amazing speech capabilities. But one of the really exciting parts of that is actually not the fact that you can just build that voice. Aishkul mentioned to me that actually now they can not only just do the spokesperson's voice, which is incredible on its own, now we're adding that layer of translation. We're kind of building up all these different AI services on top of each other. And now basically we can create a voice and we can also have that voice speak 9 different languages and 14 different locales just by providing it the training data needed in some senses, and then it translates it. So in the demo, Aishkul built a custom neural voice using Eric Boyd's voice, our CVP, our Corporate Vice President of AI, and of Azure AI. And he actually then was able to not just speak in English as Eric's voice, but actually speak in Spanish and Italian at the same time. And so he shows like the ability, we hear it in the keynote, like definitely go and check out this session. It's incredibly entertaining. But one part of this that we should all immediately think about when I've just been talking about it is, how about responsible AI? Well, the responsible AI part of it, right? We don't want, for example, someone to just use my voice without my permission in some senses. And so Aishkul told me all about the ways that they're making this a service that is kind of managed in that sense with responsible AI techniques. And so one of the things she mentioned was that you have to have a recorded consent. So Eric provided his recorded consent. She actually only played half of it in the demo, so it couldn't be reused, and was able to then upload that. And then from there, that's when you can actually build those different voices. So Azure, the applied AI segment was fascinating. We've broken down these different segments. We have these more specific services now that you can use. And then actually we can move on to talk more about custom neural voice and speech. And actually my next guest is going to talk a little bit about how we can apply that kind of technique. But then rounding up with responsible AI and its complete importance when we talk about anything to do with AI. So that's kind of like enough monologuing from me. Thank you, Aishkul, for sharing all of that amazing information and breaking down the incredible session and the demo that she provided for Eric's keynote. But speaking of Eric's keynote, let's move on to the other part of that, actually, which focused on conversational AI. So I'd love to bring Gary onto the screen. Hey, Gary, hey. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Just getting too excited, you know what I'm like, about all of the different AI announcements. And specifically, yeah. Conversational AI had a few different things, right? That I think I spotted the telephony capabilities, packages, all of these, tell us, what are your top things? Tell us about it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We had a bit of a bumper build this year for conversational AI, definitely our biggest release in some time. And I guess for those, just to catch those who don't know up, the Conversational AI org and the org that I work in is responsible for Azure Bot Service and the Bot Framework SDK and tools like Bot Framework Composer, which we can see on the screen right now, that allows you to actually build conversational applications, or what we more commonly know as chatbots. Our focus over the last 6 months has been, how can we make it easier and simpler than ever to get started building these conversational applications? And then once you've got started, how can we make the developer experience a delight to design and test and then iterate on your bot? So we've done a number of things. So let me try and break a few of those things down. The first thing we did is Azure Bot Service. It's in Azure today. You can go and create an Azure Bot Service resource in just a couple of minutes. And that will allow you to surface your bot on one or more channels. So we're talking about things like Microsoft Teams, web chat, and as you mentioned, telephony, which is now in public preview as well. And from there now, you can deep link straight from the portal into Bot Framework Composer that we can see on the screen, which hopefully allows people to discover Composer and get started incredibly quickly. Once you're in there, we've now got a number of brand new design from the ground up pre-built templates that allow you to get started with building bots. And we've taken all of our best practices that we've learned over the last few years, and we've infused them into these templates so that you can start with everything from a basic bot, maybe an empty bot, right up to an enterprise template as well. Once you have picked your template, you've created it, we've then now got guided steps that advise you on what is required for you to complete setup of your bot, and also some recommended next steps when you want to take your bot to the next level. And so what you saw in the demo at Build was I went to our new package manager. And in the package manager, you can discover the new reusable components. And this is another thing that we've just introduced as well to allow you to extend your bot in seconds. You know, previously, you can use the power of the SDK and the tools that we have to really have your bot do absolutely anything. But actually, we wanted to allow you to bring first party packages, maybe even build your own. We're encouraging, you know, we've got a really vibrant community. And so in the demo, I installed a telephony package, and that actually adds telephony specific features like call recording to the bot. And then finally, once you designed your bot, you're ready to go and you want to iterate, you can even now test directly in Bot Framework Composer. We've got a new integrated testing service and a new set of debugging tools for you to actually do everything right from within Composer. So we think it's a pretty great release. Obviously, I think that, but we've been getting some great feedback from customers too.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. Everything I saw in that session and from your demos was just making things easier. Like, yeah, having the quick testing available in Composer and actually being able to test your bot within there. I mean, emulator, super powerful. You can probably dig in a little deeper sort of thing, but for every change you make, it's not always needed, is it? Like that, you know, that deep. Right. You just want to check that it's doing what you expected. Packages, love that. Like, I'm not precious. If I don't need to like write extra stuff or build extra stuff, like I won't. I prefer to reuse. We call it building on the success of others here at Microsoft. So you know, it's absolutely like sort of a developer approach. You mentioned enterprise template. Can you just break down again for us specifically, like what is that enterprise template and how can people use it?
Yeah, great question. So as I said, we've got a number of templates and they start from an empty bot and then they go right up to our enterprise template. Because ultimately, you know, depending on your scenario, then maybe you don't want to start right at the beginning. We just said, you know, building on the success of others. And we've had something around for a while now called our Enterprise Assistant Solution Accelerator. Which is essentially a starter kit for building an enterprise assistant that you can roll out in Microsoft Teams within an organization. It integrates with the Microsoft Graph and it has calendar and scheduling capabilities and people search capabilities. We've actually taken that. We've taken the bits that are generic, that are just great about that enterprise assistant, and we've infused them into all of our templates. But then we've taken all the bits that were specific to the Enterprise Assistant and we've added that template specifically. And it allows you to get up and running in just a couple of minutes with deep integration into the Office Graph so that I can, you know, within a few minutes have a bot working where I can say, hey, book some time with Amy tomorrow for a couple of hours to talk about the project reviews. And it's going to go and take all of that. It's going to parse the natural language for me. It's going to figure out that I wanted to book a meeting, how long I want the meeting for, anything it's missing, it's going to follow up and it's going to ask me. And they're just common scenarios that we know that people want to be able to deliver and use within their organizations. But you know, why rebuild the wheel? So we've just taken all that best practice and infused it into these templates.
Love that. Absolutely. It's so good. Speech, text, tooling, packages. There's a, yeah, there's an overarching theme here, applied AI, isn't it, in some senses?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Fab. And then also towards the end of yours, though, we started talking Power Virtual Agents and these, yes, the kind of the connections between the two. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, and this is another really important point. You know, people shouldn't think about Power Virtual Agents and Bot Framework as two separate products, right? We are built on top of the same architecture, the same SDK, the same framework. And we think about them as a single product. And really the point I was trying to land during the build demo is you should start where it makes sense for you, but then you can collaborate with anyone. So Power Virtual Agents is really more targeted today at citizen developers, business users. Whereas Bot Framework SDK and Composer is more sort of pro developer, pro code types of approach. So you can start with whichever one makes sense for you. And today, if you start with Power Virtual Agent, you can what we call consume a bot that's been built with the SDK so that you can effectively add capabilities to it. So you could have a central team using PVA build the front door, and then another team within the enterprise build specific capabilities for that bot, and then you simply plug them in. So you can democratize the ability to build those experiences. And what we announced was a build as well later this year. So that was GA, this build, but later this year, we're going to enable it the other way around as well, so that you can actually take a bot that's been built with Composer and the SDK and start pulling in the capabilities of the bots that have been built with Power Virtual Agents, thus completing the cycle and allowing you to truly start where it makes sense for you, but then collaborate with anyone, regardless of the makeup of your team and how distributed it is across the organization.
Love that. And then we have a small give here of kind of how you pull these PVA skills into Composer. It's super simple. It's just like you would with any other kind of item. You add it as something and then it kind of adds it to the bottom. So just to get that visual on there so people can see, you know, this is all there. And it's, it's fairly simple, right? I don't like to use that word sometimes, but it's as simple as it could come across.
That's exactly the point, right? We don't want you to expend effort where you don't need to, right? The whole point of Composer and the effort that we've put behind the tooling is we want to get you where you need to be faster so that you can focus on the bits that are specific and custom to your domain. You know, another thing to call out here, I mentioned packages earlier. We've done a whole load of work on our new component model and the ability for you to extend your Composer bots using code. You know, people should not take away from this that actually it's a visual designer or it's building a bot with code. We actually think it's a better together story. So you start with Composer, you get as far as you can with the very flexible tooling that we've got, but then we still expect people to still be in Visual Studio, VS Code, writing those custom actions and capabilities that you can use for your bot. And we've tried to make that incredibly simple.
Love that. And Gary, we have a call to action that you provided us, which is aka.ms/convaibuild2021. Just at the bottom of the screen for us just here. What's at this link?
So that is a blog post of all of our build announcements. So please go check it out. You'll see it's quite long. It took some time to write, but it's great. Hopefully great content and gives you an overview. There's also a link out there to a specific blog post around the Enterprise Assistant. So you should go and definitely check that out if you're interested in that template. And also another link to all of our build content. So if you haven't seen the demo from Aishagul or the demo that I did in Eric Boyd's session, I definitely recommend going and checking that out.
Wonderful. A one-stop shop for all the different links we need for Applied AI and for Eric's session from Build. Thank you so much, Gary. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. But on to the next, because we don't have too much time left. And I hear you cry, what about the bespoke models? What about the models that I want to build as a data scientist and kind of what was talked around that at Build? So I'd like to invite Henk onto the screen. And Henk, we're actually going to kind of change positions here, right? Like you're going to ask me a few questions about my thoughts on it.
Perfect. So besides tooling, what about the modeling side of the sessions?
Yeah, I was going to say for modeling, it was really interesting because, again, it was just making things easier. I just said it to Gary. If I don't need to write code from scratch, like I don't see... I haven't got the time to be doing that in some senses. So anything that can help me is amazing. And so PyTorch snippets came up. Definitely go and watch this session to find out more. So that is really any code that we write regularly, common code for PyTorch models is now actually available for all of, you know, for you to literally just pull in and then add in like parameters. You've got IntelliSense in there, which is like, hey, you know, you need to write how many epochs here, you need to write where your data frame is. Really, really useful stuff rather than me going and hunting out like an old model that I've built and kind of bringing over pieces of code and editing it. And then finally, the profiler. The PyTorch profiler is super interesting when you start thinking about cloud compute. Interestingly, I'm sure like the cloud native team will appreciate all of this, but actually quite new to data science, is actually we're breaking down now, like when we load the data, when we apply the model, when we review the results. So rather than having like a monolithic script, we can break it down. And so if the data loader needs more compute, we can just up that compute. So the profiler provides you loads of amazing metrics is basically the outcome there. So definitely if you're a data scientist, this is, you know, got you interested, go and check out that session. But Henk, the session then kind of moved on, didn't it? And we moved on to kind of ML ops. Can you just break down a little bit what ML ops is for us?
Absolutely. So ML ops is the process of taking an experimental machine learning model into production. The word ML ops is a compound of machine learning and the continuous development practice of DevOps in the software field. And for those who are not familiar with DevOps, this is the definition I really like. DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to your end users. So the same as most software, machine learning models are tested and developed in isolated experimental environments. And when an algorithm is ready to be launched, MLOps is practiced between data scientists, DevOps, and machine learning engineers to transition the algorithm to production systems. Similar to DevOps or DataOps approaches, MLOps seeks to increase automation and improves the quality of production models, while also focusing on delivering value to our end users.
Nice one. Now, it's great to kind of break down that definition, understand it before, but now, can you tell us how that applies to Azure machine learning specifically?
Exactly. So Azure ML has embraced the same DevOps practices you're familiar with products like Azure DevOps and GitOps. You can store your source code in the version control system of your choice, update and clean your data using an automated pipeline, test the model automatically, manage your deployment infrastructure, and monitor the production model using tools like Azure Monitor and Log Analytics. And all these capabilities help maintain model reproducibility and also make it easier to audit a model from creation to deployment and to retain a model to retrain a model when data updates.
That's cool. Nice. And we haven't got a whole load of time left. So can you tell us sort of your top two takeaways? Like, what were the top things that you got really excited about? Because Seth did a wicked demo on this, Seth Juarez.
Yes, there were so many cool things. But if I have to name two, I would first start with the integration of MLflow. MLflow is an open source platform to manage the ML lifecycle, including experimentation, reproducibility, deployment, and a central model registry. So you can just use MLflow to track all of the parameters that run inside of PyTorch Lightning. And it does that basically automatically for you. And then as your machine learning, you can automatically view your logs. So the second thing I want to highlight is the Azure Machine Learning extension for Visual Studio Code. So it is super easy to create compute, jobs, data set, and you create YAML files with auto-completion with context from your workspace. So you can right-click on a document and it runs the job for you in the cloud.
That's amazing. Okay, cool. So, I mean, we don't have, unfortunately, enough time to discuss all of the great things and really dig into some of those nitty-gritty elements that we saw in the demo. But Henk, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so sorry we lost you for a little bit there. But I really, really appreciate your view, your perspective on some of these announcements. And so everyone, go and check out the two AI sessions at Microsoft Build, one by Eric Boyd and then one based on ML models specifically. These two things cover all of those different announcements and exciting pieces. And so with that, thank you so much for joining the AI part of this event. But now we're actually going to hand over and talk a little bit more about Microsoft 365.